Talk Radio.
Log Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. Today is what's called Good Friday. It's April the 3rd, 2015. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1 and that puts you in queue to talk to us. We would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart. We have another beautiful sunny day, absolutely awesome, in High Springs, Florida, and getting ready to get on the road and head to Orlando to get some playtime in with Grandma and Grandpa, and then to get set up for the intensive that starts in just, 15 days, just a day or two more than 2 weeks. We're on Intensive City. Of course, we've got 3 days of workshops between now and then, the 12th, 13th, 14th, in Gainesville, Florida. So if you're in that area, we'll be doing 3 free workshops. We'd be delighted to have you come and join us. And our intensive is going to happen at a beautiful facility in Orlando, where we're going to be training some of the staff to do this work. Some of the staff at this hotel has already been through our workshops, and they're getting ready to take it to the next level of work, so that's pretty exciting. Jeannie will do a 9-day healing the whole woman. I will do a 9-day why is this happening to me again, and then we'll move into a 12-day teacher training. So if you're inclined to take your work to the next level, if you really want to get into a supportive environment where everybody in the space is holding the space and doing their own work, then make the plan. Come and join us. There's room in the intensive. It's just a small group right now. It looks like it's going to be a pretty intense, personal-type intensive. So come and play with us. Beyond that, our work is simple. It is that of forgiveness. Nothing whatsoever to do, however, with the Greek idea of I let you off the hook for what's happening inside of me. That's all a fraud. But rather, if my mind is generating realities based in hostility or fear, if it's generating its output, its picture world, out of hostility or fear, then, and I want to truly live a human life and remove what tends to blot out my human life and hold a newborn child, you know what a human life is. If I want to really live in that, then I need to learn to go inside myself and literally remove the very capacity for any form of hostility or fear. Free myself from it. And as I free myself from it, I'll stand in the space where yesterday I might go into rage, guilt, grief, fear, hate, vengeance, drama, trauma of some kind. And because I've healed those energies within me, because I've changed those energies and chosen to incarnate fully as love, then all of a sudden in the same environment, coming out through my eyes is the energy of love rather than the energy of hate, fear, anger, rage. And what that tends to do is it creates miraculous results. We get to see changes. I mean, I think over the years of how many people have been in traumatic situations with others who are literally thousands of miles away, and the phone rings and there are changes in that person, or that person that's involved in the situation is processing the same exact thing. You know, Ari was at Heartland last year, and he was going through a still point session, Ari, our chef, and he was going through a still point session and touching into, went back to the full physical memory of being a preemie and being left in an incubator with all these other babies in incubators screaming and this noise going on around him and no touch. And he went in and really processed some deep isolation. And it just so happened that he had forgotten, and, you know, I was breathing him up on our deck, and he had his cell phone laying on the table, and it rang. I said, "Ari," should I answer the phone? "No, I'm just going to stay with this." And so afterward, he checked his messages, and there was his sister. And, you know, he and his sister have been hanging out for about 50 years, a little better than 50 years, and have never talked about his birth or his experience of being in the hospital as a preemie. But here he is processing this. Now, here are two people who never had such a conversation, have had all kinds of conflict in their lives, but never talked about this event. And while Ari is going through that physical memory, he's physically re-experiencing it and moving through the trauma of it, his sister leaves a message. And the message is a little bit of a rant about how upset she was that when he was born, he stayed in the hospital and his mother stayed with him, which meant her mother stayed in the hospital and he took her mother away. That's after 50 years of no conversation, literally to the second. Now, I could tell you story after story after story after story where we've had that kind of thing happen. To the second, she called and is addressing exactly what he's going through. You know, who was it that said there's more under heaven and earth than meets the eye? And when we recognize, you know, if you listen to Einstein, he says, if you think you're separate or separated from the rest of humanity, you're living in an optical delusion. We've created all kinds of optical delusions out of our hostility and fear-based minds. And those optical delusions come from energies that fire within us that form the world we see. You know, we now know scientifically that every reality that people see is a construct in their own minds. We do not have windows that look out into the world. We have apparatus that receives information, and based on what that information resonates in us, we generate a picture, or what Einstein would call an optical delusion. Once we're trained that we're separate and separated from the rest of humanity, then our minds produce that optical delusion. Now, people say, well, how come everybody's mind produces the same optical illusion? Well, actually, everybody's mind doesn't. You'll notice one person looks at somebody and says, oh, they're so beautiful. Another person looks at them and says, oh, that person's so ugly. Oh, that person's so attractive to me. Oh, that person's so repulsive to me. Or same person, same two people. You meet someone, ooh, they're kind of, you know, rub me the wrong way. They've got rough edges. I don't like them. They're ugly. And some interaction with the real being, from being to being, and all of a sudden, that which was yesterday was perhaps ugly is now the most awesomely beautiful thing you could imagine. The mind is always generating its pictures, and each picture for each person is unique and individual and based on what's going on inside of them. If we're seeing an ugly world, it's because inside of us are sown the seeds of ugliness. And so our mind produces those energies, those realities. And then it draws someone to us to play those energies out with us. And then we say, see, it's true, that's the way they are. And in truth, the world is a world of make-believe. The world between your ears, you make it up, you believe it, and then you draw people to you through resonance to play it out with you, and then you believe that your evidence is true. Once you bypass that hallucination, that optical delusion, as Einstein calls it, then you start going inside yourself. You delve into your own structure. You delve into your own history, your own emotions, your own feelings, as our conversation went yesterday, and into your genetics, and you remove from there hostility and fear. You forgive as to your hostility or fear. And all of a sudden, you create different pictures in your mind. Every picture you see is a picture painted on the inside of your eyeballs. You are not looking at a window to the world, but it's a picture painted on the inside of your eyeballs. And if you think somebody else can cause you to feel that this picture is the cause of your feelings, then recognize that the picture is unique and individual to you. It's painted from your content. You're disturbed because of what's resonating in your content. You are not by what's happening in the world. If you've got lots of disturbed content, boy, anybody or anything can seem to cause your disturbance. But disturbance you see, the optical delusions you see, are unique and individual and internal to you. And of course, people tend to gather in communities where they share their optical delusions. So we have communities of people, for instance, that call themselves gangs. They're into hate and fear, and they know that the guy over there on the other side of town is an enemy because he wears red and blue and we wear white and green, or you know, whatever the colors are for the current gang. It's all an optical delusion. You want to see a really powerful film that demonstrates that. There's the film called Freedom Riders, a young lady, true story. Young lady who's a young optimist coming out of teacher's training, goes into the school, and she's going to really make a difference. And she's given the last of the last hope students that are in the school. She's a new teacher, so they're kind of pawned off on her. And she starts to work with them, and she starts to understand, and she dedicates herself to change. There's an awesome scene in it where she asks, you know, here are the different ethnic groups, different colors of skin, different tribes or gangs. And she has them at one point, each of the gang members or members of her classroom who've seen someone or know of someone who's been killed, one of their friends, she draws a line. She asks them to step up on the line. And so here are all these kids that get up face to face. Then she goes through a series of you know, whoever has seen the you know, this meeting, has seen this happen, that happen. And all of a sudden these kids start to look at each other who are like mortal enemies, or at least, you know, vicious toward each other in the classroom. And all of a sudden they're looking at each other and it's like, oh my God, we're the same. And then she goes into an interesting conversation, powerful film, one you need worksheets for and one to breathe through. She says, well, okay, you guys are tough. You think you're really tough. You guys are, you're this gang and you're that gang. Let me tell you about a real gang. And she introduces them to the Holocaust and Nazism. She takes these kids who are, you know, 16, 17, 18, and she takes them to the Holocaust Museum. On entering the museum, they're each given a card with a picture of someone, and they follow them through the museum, and they don't find out till they get to the other end what happened to that person. Did they survive? Were they gassed? You know, what happened to them? Are they still alive? And she really gets these kids' attention and helps them to start to paint different pictures on the inside of their eyeballs about each other and about life. And she has them read about these people who went through the Holocaust and Frank. And the kids, you know, I mean, they're poverty stricken. They're coming out of dirt. You know, it's just that, you know, inner city Los Angeles, just degraded. And they decide that they are going to work together as a group to fund the woman who housed Anne Frank, who's still alive at the time of this film's making, who housed her and protected her as long as she could. They bring her over, they fund her coming over from Germany, and have her address, this woman address them. So powerful. And then she says, now each of you has a story. You know, I've heard your stories. I've seen you. I went to your home. I saw, you know, how drugged out and how beat up your father is and how your mother's in jail and et cetera, et cetera. So now I want you to start to write your stories. Amazing, amazing when people start to crack the picture they paint on the inside of their eyeballs. And then what they're capable of, what's possible. You know what's possible? It's possible that we could have a world with 7.5 billion people that live 24/7, 365 as the active presence of love, in the bliss they were intended to live in the euphoria of a human life. But you can't do it if your genetics, if your culture is filled with hostility, rage, guilt, grief, fear, drama, trauma, hatred, vengeance, unless you're willing to do the work of removing those things which paint the pictures on the inside of your eyes, and the pictures on the inside of your eyes you think are actually windows to the world out there. You've never seen anything outside of you with your body's eyes. You've seen your brain's representation. And if your brain's representation is accurate, then, you know, you don't bump into the furniture. People say, well, but everybody sees the same piece of furniture. No, everybody doesn't see the same piece of furniture. Nobody has ever seen a piece of furniture. When we say, I see a piece of furniture, what I'm saying is information comes in through my eyes, that sense organ, and my brain produces a picture. If there's no corrupt data in my mind about the piece of furniture, then I get to see an accurate representation of the furniture. I get to sit on it. I get to utilize it. I get to keep my toes from banging into the leg of it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But let's just take an example. And the indicator in the human system for corrupt data is hostility or fear. If hostility or fear accompanies a picture behind your eyeballs, then know that there is corrupt data in your mind that your mind is using to build its picture world, and now its picture is inaccurate, you'll do stupid things. You know, we've asked tens of thousands of people over the years, how many have ever done something they regret? And 100% of the time, the people do something they regret, which obviously is something that wasn't so smart, it's always when they're in hostility or fear. So let's take an example where someone creates an inaccurate picture. Have you ever been accused of saying something you absolutely never said, of doing something that you absolutely have never done? Of course, everybody has. Now, when the person who accused you, and they swear they're telling the truth, and you know what? They're telling the truth. They saw you do what they said you did, even though it didn't happen. Well, Michael, how is that possible? Well, all you have to do is be the stimulus that resonates the brain cells for that behavior that is in them. And that behavior, this is what led the ancient scripture compilers to say, beware you who judge another, for that in which you judge another, you've been guilty of practicing. You know, how many preachers have we heard railing against this behavior, that behavior, immorality, et cetera, et cetera? What are they doing in the back room? Exactly what they're railing against. Why? Because you can only see a world made up of what's going on inside of you. You can't see the world outside of you. So you'll notice, you know, if I were to ask everyone, if we said, you know, call in and tell us what people were, what state they were in when they accused you of doing something you didn't do, saying something you didn't say, and 100% of the time it will always be hostility or fear. Their mind is painting a picture out of their content of you, and it's an inaccurate picture. So you notice they didn't, you know, like you didn't bump into the furniture because you got an accurate picture, but they did bump into you because the picture was inaccurate. Now, the big leap to make is you've got to start to suspect that if you're in hostility or fear, the pictures that your mind is painting on the inside of your eyeballs are not accurate about the outside world, but they are accurate about you. And if you don't like that being accurate about you, then you acquire the skill of forgiveness. You reach inside yourself and remove what never belonged. Hostility, rage, guilt, grief, fear, drama, trauma, hatred, vengeance never belonged in a human system. All of those energies are energies which are off the mark. In the ancient Aramaic, there's an archery term that speaks of being off the mark. When you fired at the target and you missed the bullseye, you were off the mark. There was a word that was used to describe that. It was called sin. Now, the Greeks made a whole business out of it, multi-trillion, quadrillion dollar business that's gone on for centuries, keeping people in hostility or fear and pretending that they were talking to them about love. And it's all just a fraud. based on the picture that those people are painting on the inside of their eyeballs. The first order of business, you know, if you go back and you ask Yeshua, what's most important in this whole practice you're giving us? And he says, keep the filter of love active in your mind. Then you will have a human life, and the pictures behind your eyeballs will be accurate. On the inside of your eyes will be accurate. First and foremost, maintain, rachma was the word, maintain your human life. When you've got one of those, you get to see accurately. Then when crazy things happen in your world, you stand connected to love. And the pictures you paint always come from love, which means that when on the inside of your eyeballs a picture based in love is painted of somebody in the outside world, then through that you spray the energy of love on them. If the pictures you paint of someone are out of hate and rage and guilt and grief and fear, then you spray the energy of hate and guilt and grief and fear and rage on them. And yes, people respond to that. People call it a miracle when they do forgiveness and somebody else changes, but they don't realize that they're spraying the energy that tends, unless somebody's really conscious, people tend to react out of the energies that are sprayed on them. So somebody is looking at them through hate and fear and pain. Those people, if they've got hate and fear and pain in them, will tend to get lost in their hate and fear and pain, and now you got a war. And then you get a whole belief system about why war is necessary. And it's all a fraud. It's all a lie. Hold yourself as a newborn. You are made of the stuff called love. That's the only thing you're designed to feel from, is that awesome active presence of love. Imagine 7.5 billion people waking up tomorrow morning with the same mind as Yeshua used to see the world and teach. How different would the game be? If 7.5 billion people, because of the pictures they were spraying on the inside of their eyes, were all based in love, were each radiating and spraying love on everything and everybody they touched, how long would it take for our world to transform? Could 23 Christians in the Middle East be beheaded? Could we use spent uranium in our shells to create genocide in a country? That we fire each weapon that's fired creates a plume of radioactive waste that parents, mothers, and fathers and babies breathe. Could we do that? No, we couldn't do that. But where the hallucinations are based, where the perceptions are based, where the pictures painted on the inside of our eyeballs are based in hate and fear and greed, we can do so many insane things on this planet. And so we're here for a wake-up call. That's our work. That's our play. That's what we're here to do. What an awesome thing. And by the way, for those who are coming to teacher training, I just got a confirmation from Dale Allen Hoffman, and he's going to be coming. And we actually have done some work with a presentation called Aramaicisms. And so Dale is going to come and work with the teacher training group. And we're going to do, I think we're going to get the video. And so we'll have a new, probably 4 hours of video on Aramaicisms. So that's kind of cool. That'll be a little bonus for anybody that comes to teacher training in Orlando in April and May. So come and play with us. Jeannie, do we have Dr. Tim with us?
Yes, we do, and he's on.
Well, hey there, young man. How are you, sir?
Blessed and highly favored, I think, is your favorite phrase.
Hey, you deserve it. And we appreciate how deeply you are on the support team of taking this to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. It is just an awesome contribution that you make by your presence. Every day that you're on the show and every day that I can't be and you're there, it's just, what can I say? There's not really a word big enough for my appreciation for how you lift us up to be able to take this further and further afield. So thank you.
Well, it's a lovely thing and you're quite welcome and deserving. And I do it because it is so rewarding to me. And speaking of which, we had another support group last night, And so, you know, I'm blessed to be able to do this twice in a week. And we watched the second half of the movie I Am.
Right.
And I believe you've seen that movie. I know Jeannie's talked about having seen it. And there's so much in it that I stopped it halfway through last week because I wanted to slow it down and give people a chance to talk about some of the many different things that are brought into awareness in that one movie. I think he did a fabulous job of pulling different science and philosophy together. And
yes.
You know, he's got somebody who wrote the book Essential Rumi. He's got scientists that from the Noetic Science Institute. He's got the heart math people. He's got people who studied what Darwin said. I mean, it just keeps going and going and going.
Yeah.
So we had that movie in the second half of it last night, and then the discussion, and then the four of us just tried to take a look at, was the movie really just about money? Was it about energy at every level? Was it just about love energy? So we had that discussion, and then we had somebody volunteer to do a worksheet. And it's a person who hasn't done a worksheet out loud in a group before, but went from a level 7 anger to, you know, 0 anger, and got in touch with some really deep sadness.
Mm.
Time in her life when she was in 3rd or 4th grade. And it was just a powerful, powerful example of how she was creating her experience of life based on things that happened to her when she was in 3rd and 4th grade. And she was literally having that drive her experience of life today as an adult with children of her own. And she got to see very clearly that the anger that she was experiencing in her day-to-day life today is really about sadness that has been unresolved from years past. And she took some huge steps to dismantling, canceling, removing a lot of that sadness and opening herself to be able to see that so much of what she's blaming for her upset in her life today is completely unrelated to the upset in her life today. And that was extraordinary. Just, it was lovely and powerful, and it's going to make a difference in her life and her children's lives and who knows how many others. As you like to quote the Course in Miracles, and it says, when we heal, we're never healed alone. So the ripple effects of these worksheets that get done and the positive, loving energy that gets tuned into conscious awareness on a regular basis sends out ripples that, as you said before, there really aren't words for my gratitude in that.
I certainly understand, and you know, I don't remember the name of the author, but there's a French writer who wrote, "Men rage where they would elsewise weep." Of course, that includes women too. Humanity rages where they would elsewise weep, and what we now understand is that hostility, rage, anger is probably the most, maybe the second most common, but kind of the granddaddy of drugs, and it's the fastest way that there is to jump into codependent relationship, because, of course, with this woman that you're talking about, if somebody showed up who resonated her sadness, out of her sadness, she would start to paint a picture on the inside of her eyeballs of them, and looking at them and feeling sad and not being able to or not having the tools to deal with the sadness creates a drug, an internal anesthetic to anesthetize against feeling a sadness, and then, you know, whatever she's painting a picture of, does behaviors that will be regretted, you know, whether it's of that awesome, cherished child. You know, parents say, how could I have done that? Well, you weren't in relationship with your child. You're in relationship with the picture in your brain. And when your child resonates your childhood issues, boom, you're going to create pictures. You're going to see, literally, you'll see what looks like a picture of your child painted on the inside of your eyeballs out of your own sadness or rage or childhood grief or guilt or fear or whatever. And so, I don't know, it's just so amazing to me, in a world of unconsciousness where people rage at each other at the drop of a hat. I mean, you're driving down the street in the city and there's this little blue-haired lady, you can hardly see over her steering wheel, and she's got the middle finger up. It's like, what is going on here? But, you know, it's just to become conscious of that principle is so huge. And I'm really hopeful that we're getting to the point where there are enough people working in this arena. You know, when I'm talking about everyone who's working in this arena of healing, really, truly healing, that we're getting to the edge of critical mass where there is going to be a shift in awareness, and everybody's going to start to become aware that they are responsible for the output of their own minds. That I read from Jonas Salk during the first hour of the four-hour video, where he says, you know, people are starting to become aware that they're responsible for what they see and what they feel, and that when people discover forgiveness, it's going to open a power in them that is greater for good than atomic power is for negativity. And pretty awesome to hear a scientist on that level. I actually want to study more about Salk's life, because he did some pretty amazing stuff. He was a pretty powerful being, you know, who really seemed to express from a state of being, and his awareness was just amazing. He's probably, you know, beyond the Salk, the vaccine, beyond that, and I certainly question that, but beyond that, the contribution and the space that he held in the world is, from everything that I've been seeing from researching his life, is just amazing.
I look forward to hearing more of what you discover as you go on that journey.
I shall definitely share it, sir. So let's take a listen and see if Jeannie's got any chat room or anybody with a hand up in the phone queue, sweetie.
Everybody in the chat room is guests, so they can't chat. And nobody has their hand up, so, oh, a hand just went up. Area code 541, you're on the air.
Hey, young lady. Are you with us, Julie?
Oops, now I am. Hi. Mute.
Oh, there you are. Mute challenge. I know that story.
Yeah. I think I need to do a worksheet on that one. Excuse me. Well, I just want to share an amazing thing, and I'm so happy to hear that Dale Allen Hoffman's going to be at your teacher's training. That is a phenomenal opportunity to see the two of you doing how did you call that? Aramaicisms? That will be good.
Aramaicisms, taking the Aramaic and bringing meaning to the. We actually did a kind of a practice run of that in Asheville, North Carolina, a few months ago, and at the two-hour mark, we were just starting to get warmed up, so it was a fun happening, and we're looking to get captured on video.
Well, things are very, very expanding. And what I wanted to share, it happened yesterday after, boy, my throat is weird. Okay, here, I'm calming down a little bit. This is amazing. I was coming down my street, leaving home to be somewhere on time. So I had a little of that energy going on, and I was messing with something in my front seat as I approached a stop sign, And so as I approached the stop sign, the something in the front seat started to move even more because it was downhill also I was going. So I just had to stop because I had to stop what was happening. So it was a gentle stop, nobody behind me, and I finally got it all straightened out, and I approached the rest of the distance to the stop sign, which was about 10 or 15 feet. Well, I knew that I had stopped and looked and was approaching stopping again, but an oncoming car thought I was moving out into the traffic, and so she came by honking at me and wildly waving her arms, and I thought, wow, you know, that was unconscious, and it caused or created, you know, an energetic occurrence between her and I. And so I thought, I better wake up and just be present and get with it here. So I went into the holding.
Yes. Question?
Mm-hmm.
Before you move past that thought, it caused an energetic interaction between her and I. You might want to look at whether that's a subtle form of denial. You probably created an energetic interaction for you, an energetic experience for you, and she created an energetic experience for her. If I think or speak as though it was the interaction that created my experience, then I'm in denial. And if my experience is painful, especially, then by my denial, I'm cut off from accessing and healing the part of my mind that generates that pain. So just a subtlety there, but as we really start to pay attention to the subtleties and how, you know, our whole culture has been trained to think somebody else is the cause of what's going on inside of me. This event, this person, you know, her waving arms, she created an energetic interchange, or it created, then I'm putting the power outside of me. And one of the discoveries of this work in regulatory speech is that when we start to really pay attention to our speech and our words, and we use our words to accurately represent, I'm painting a picture on the inside of my eyeballs, and I want to talk about it, as opposed to, you did something that caused me to experience this. I change everything when I do that. It seems, you know, maybe picky, but it's anything but picky. It's the core of healing. You know, you can go back all the way to 2,000 years ago. James, the brother of Yeshua, says, stop your denial. And then he goes on in the same paragraph, and he says, what is the cause of the quarreling, the fightings, and the war among you? And he says, it's the war inside your members. It's what's going on inside of you that does that, and yet most everybody thinks it's out there in the world. So just a subtle one.
Wow. Thank you. Yeah, my language, I do, which workshop is it where you go more into the regulatory speech?
Laws of Living.
Okay. I really want to take all your courses.
Yeah, in Laws of Living, we spend several days talking about regulatory speech and the power of it.
Okay. Okay, well, so my speech in telling this story, or telling the story, which is in the past now, my speech is, I'm going to have to watch how I say these things. I did become aware, and I was responsible. I just didn't know how to say it in this story. I could see her probably blaming me for her energetic reaction because she was waving her arms and, you know, that sort of thing.
Right.
And what I did is I just felt the communication. I just felt like, okay, you know, I can see what happened, and I'm going to wake up and be more present and alert with my driving, more aware of others, expand my field more, and include. And so I immediately started holding the space of love, present, active, conscious, and active.
Awesome.
And, you know, and I had that awareness as I was driving down my favorite street in Ashland, which I call a country road. We actually still have one left. And all these awarenesses started coming about, well, what does that mean, holding the space? And I thought, well, holding is kind of rigid, isn't it? And I thought, maybe it's not so much about being rigid and holding, but it's just that I see myself as a container and a vessel where the space of love comes into me and expands my experience to include everywhere. So I was just really in that fun experience, feeling the transformation. And I started thinking about everyone in my life that I wanted to expand this love to. And it was just fine. I mean, it was just really fine and joyous. And where was I going with this? So I don't know when, but I turned on my CD player, and I have a CD of Dale Allen Hoffman that I listen to periodically, and it was about emptiness. He was talking about some of the Beatitudes and emptying and then filling with this expansion. So I realized that what I was able to do in that moment was empty, you know, the energy of what had apparently happened, I guess I could say, which revealed to me an opportunity to change my energy, even as unconscious as it was. I said, okay, something needs to shift in me. And so I did the simplest work of breathing and holding love present and conscious. And out of that, I felt like I went into a whole new place, like, oh my gosh, if I could hold this vessel of letting things just move through me, I can move with ease and grace. And so I sort of set that in motion and retained that thought of holding the space and letting things flow easily and gracefully. And I held it probably for 15 minutes and then almost the whole day. I mean, every time I would catch myself and put myself back into it. And it was a really amazing experience that
awesome.
Life reflected differently to me, you know. Everything worked out. It was really a nice,
When you're spraying love on everything you see through your eyes, you get a different response for sure. You know, and that's awesome. And, you know, if you go to the Eastern Orthodox teachings, the whole idea of the Eastern Orthodox tradition was incarnating is love. And it is literally this physiological device, this energy device is a container. And as I hold to that space, then I transform, I change the world. And so nice piece of work. Because
Ron,
there were times when it would not have been so, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's so many different pathways I could have gone, but it was so wonderful to know that those brain cells are fading off and dying off, and the new ones are definitely replacing. And that has been a theme all week for me, too, is I'm just seeing so many things as old energy, and it's so much easier to let it go instead of hanging on to it for whatever reasons I've held on to it. For example, French toast that I made several months ago with bread that was about 6 months old, and I froze it thinking, well, I better not waste that food, you know, whatever, and I got it out and took a bite of it today, and I said, I can't eat this anymore. I'm throwing it out. It's old energy.
Hang on, man. What not to hang on to, right?
Yeah, I mean, but it's like I'm in that mode now. It's happening with the clutter I'm cleaning up in my office and all kinds of things. And so I'm happy for that. And I'm just and that's
nice.
Not making me happy.
Cool.
Okay, that's not making me happy.
You got it.
I'm noticing
nice.
The relief.
Responsibility communication. Yay.
Yay. Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah. The other video in the context that you might want to look at the speech would be to to watch the communication that you hear what I think I said. Because that goes into not so much regulatory speech, but the power of words and how words instructor mine how to paint this picture. So cool, nice, awesome work.
I have one more little thing to share. My one person work support group, she had to cancel. We were going to meet tonight, And so I reacted a little last night before, you know, I got the text late, and I haven't answered her until this morning. And I simply asked her, would it be possible to reschedule on Saturday or Sunday? And she answered back with a possibility. So my fear that she didn't want to come went away, you know. I worked on it, right? And then the possibility opened up that we're going to reschedule. So that's awesome. I'm excited.
Nice. All right. Glad you're out there doing it, young lady. Any support we can be.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
It feels good. I'm just saying, wait, hold on. Are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. I'm just noticing. Well, I'm sorry, but I'm noticing how sticking to my commitment really empowers me. And I've been working on keeping agreements with Susan, Giles, and also Magda, and it really is empowering me. I'm making more progress in my life than I have in a long time. Okay, that's it.
That's cool. And of course, we're here at Susan's right now, and she is so excited about what's happening for you. She's been sharing it with just the most effervescent enthusiasm. So, great.
Oh, good.
Nice work.
Good. Good.
All right. Okay. Thanks for your call. Have a
blessed
one.
Take care.
Mm-hmm.
You too.
Bye-bye. I saw a post on Facebook that I thought was kind of cute. And what it said was, I sent that Ancestry site some information on my family tree. They sent me back a pack of seeds and suggested that I just start over. I thought that was cute. Anyway, Jeannie, do we have anybody else with a hand up or anybody in the phone queue? Or the chat room?
Nope. Nobody has their hand up. So if someone presses 1, you're first in line. We still have 12 minutes, so we can definitely take another caller.
We've got time for questions. Let's go for it. 646-200. 4169, if you're on one of those stations that we don't have access to, then we invite you to call in, share your thoughts, ask your questions. Do you need support with the worksheet? Does this idea of forgiveness make sense? I know that it's so opposite of the way the world thinks. And, you know, it takes time to build the brain cells, stick around long enough to really build the brain cells for the conversation. You know, Julie that we were just talking to was first introduced, let's see, it's probably 4 years ago that we were out there, Jeannie?
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, about 4 years ago. And she's been diligently working off and on and off and on, and she's seeing the result of 4 years of work. And that's about what it takes for people to really shift out of, I'm looking out at those people in the world that have all these problems, to I'm looking at a picture painted inside my eyeballs, and I'm learning to dismantle those pictures, a skill that probably has not existed in your bloodline for thousands of years. And so it takes a little time. It's not going to happen overnight. But, oh, the rewards are so worth it, so worth it. Dr. Tim, you have any more thoughts for us at this moment? Anything else on your mind?
Well, I just I would recommend the newest book by Guy Finley for another slightly different perspective on the same kind of observations about life and being fully responsible
right.
for what we're creating. Because I've been reading that lately and it's resonating well for me. And
the name of it is?
Oh, you would ask that, wouldn't you?
Well, since we're recommending his book, we probably want to give him the title of it.
I've mentioned it several times, but I'll pull it up here in just a minute. It's the he was doing a release with an audio interview at the same time. The Secret of Your Immortal Self.
Hmm. Cool. The Secret of Your Eternal Self. Yeah.
Immortal.
Yeah.
And so the idea is you were spinning it already?
I was just, you know, it's just such an old habit that if I run into a word that's a trick of the mind, I just automatically translate. It's one of the things I've been training my mind to do for decades. And Jeannie will tell you as we're listening to a new song, and I like the melody and I like to sing. And in fact, if I weren't doing this work, that quite possibly would be the field I'd be in, would be music. But I'll be, you only heal the one you love. I mean, how insane a world do we live in that we have songs that are popular to say you only hurt the one you love? You know what I mean? It's crazy. So when you start, and music's a powerful way to put stuff in. So when I hear the word immortal, my mind breaks it down to I'm mortal. Why would I want to claim death, tend that that's about eternal life? And so my mind just turns, oh, yes, eternal life. Okay, cool. I join in that.
Well, he's got some nice ways to talk about taking full responsibility and being aware of how everything that comes to us is coming for us. It's not happening to us. And that we are created to change and move and grow and not remain in the stuck place or the feeling overwhelmed place or the angry place. And so,
yes. Cool. You know, when we were out there and met him, he was just getting ready to publish a book that he was doing online, and it was kind of like a live book. I haven't been in touch with that lately, and I'm not recalling the title of that one. Do you recall what that was?
No, I'll try and look it up here. But
well, I'm sure anybody who wants to Google Guy Finley and live book, I think that's kind of how he was referring to it. And he's inviting people to come and write in this book to expand it. It's basically stories from all of the higher mind traditions, and all the different ways of languaging about truth. So it's a cool piece of work. We need to get him on the show one of these days and have a conversation.
Yeah, he's
have him share with us.
He's a pretty busy guy.
Yeah,
but
I understand.
I think it's possible we could. He's got one of his smaller ones that was fun to read was The Courage to Be Free.
Mm-hmm.
And but I'm not coming up with the online one, but.
Well, I'm sure they could Google Guy Finley and live book. They'd find it. Anyway, it was pretty cool stuff. A lot of quotes from a lot of traditions, and inviting people to add quotes that have been meaningful to their lives and keep the book alive. So I tell his story so often about the guy with the wooden, handmade wooden chairs. That's such a cool story. And if you haven't heard of it, it's about a guy who's got a friend who's opening a new business, and he's going out of town for 6 months. And so he stops by just as the guy's putting up the sign for his new business, handmade wooden furniture, or chairs. And he leaves. He comes back 6 months later, and he gets there just at the time he's taking the sign down. He's putting up a new sign. And the new sign says, handmade wooden furniture. And the guy says, well, what happened to your handmade wooden chair business? The guy says, well, I just discovered I wasn't very good at working with wood. And so he says, well, why are you doing handmade wooden furniture? He said, I just thought I'd try again and see if it would be different. To me, it's such a powerful way for people to start to look at, gee, how many times have I been in situations, circumstances, relationships, and I'm going to try again, see if it'd be different without acquiring any skills or doing any work. And, he tells some great stories.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but there's a real strong echo all of a sudden.
Yes, there is. I'll tell you what, I'm going to hang up and try calling back again.
Okay, we only have about 5 more minutes. So while Michael's hanging up and calling back in, Jim Farmer is
you
on the line.
You want to wish Jim? Yeah. Cool.
No, I just want to wish him happy Eternal Day.
Yes. So happy Eternal Day, Jim. Has the echo gone away? Can you hear me, Jeannie?
I can hear you fine, and Jim is on with us.
Oh, well, let's say hello to Jim then. Happy Eternal Day, sir.
Well, thank you very much. Yours was the first thing I saw this morning when I awakened. I had a text message from you wishing me a happy eternal day, and that was a great way to start my day, and I thank you. I appreciate you both. Can you hear me?
Michael,
Hello?
We're not hearing you talking.
Could you hear me?
I can hear Michael talking because he's over in a gazebo, but he's not coming through the phone. So
oh,
I think that he,
oh.
Yeah.
But, Gina, could you hear me?
Yes, I did. Thank you.
Oh.
Appreciate that.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know. It may be Blog Talk. I just got a message that said that the connection was lost, but I could still hear Jim talking to me, so apparently we aren't totally lost.
Yeah, we got some kind of a connection.
Yeah, so I'm not sure what all that is. But anyway, we're down to 3 minutes. So, Jim, is everything going well there at Heartland? I'm sure spring is starting to come around.
It's delightful, I'll tell you. The dogwoods are in bloom, the forsythia is in bloom, and red buds are starting to bloom. And we've had, I hit 80 degrees the other day. It's been good. It's a welcome change from a fairly harsh winter for a Florida boy.
Right. Well, we've had some nice weather here. We're getting ready as soon as the show's over to head down to Orlando and meet my mom and dad. And so taking a few days to just chill and play. And then Michael's coming back to Gainesville to do 3 days of workshops. I'm going to hang out in Orlando with them.
Terrific.
Yeah. So, be really nice. We're already getting some people talking about Heartland. We've talked to Ari a ton for a couple of days and getting him lined up. And so it's exciting. So it won't be as long as it has been until we see you.
Yeah. I want to call Ari actually and talk to him about the vegetables. I'm going to give him a call
right.
today.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway,
very
thanks
good.
Again. Thanks
You're
again.
Welcome, and hope your day is wonderful.
Yeah, and I'm told that 72 isn't old. If you're
no,
a tree.
It's not.
If you're a tree.
Well, even if you're a Jim Farmer, it's not.
Sure, don't feel 72. I'll tell you.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Well. Thank you for all you do there at Heartland, holding the fort down while we're gone.
Well, thank you, guys. Blessings. Have a great, safe few days of relaxation before the first
one. All right, we'll do it. Thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye.
So, bye-bye. Okay, so we're down to about 90 seconds, so I will just say that if you're not familiar with their site, to Why Again, that's whyagain.org. And there's all kinds of information and materials. You can click on the bullseye where it says start your new life here. You can. There's just lots and lots of things. There's all kinds of audios, videos. You can order our products. You can donate to help support us. There's also a link to my Healing the Whole Woman website. And so go out there and just play around and look at our schedule, see where we are, and join us in any of the places that are near you. And we'll look forward to talking to you on Monday. Everybody have a great weekend and awesome Easter. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.